wondering what Suji
does. Amen. Thinking you may be seated. Take your Bible tonight. The book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34, if you will. I want to speak to you tonight on the funeral of Moses. The funeral of Moses. I don't guess anybody looks forward to the day of their funeral. I had somebody ask me the other, just in the last few days, hey, who's going to preach your funeral? I said, I hope nobody. I'd just soon the Lord come and take us, you know, not have to go through the funeral and just go home and be with the Lord. But no, I'd actually said, I have no idea. I don't know. I haven't figured it out. They said, well, you could record it and preach your own funeral. I said, yeah, that'd be an act of great humility, wouldn't it? Preach your own funeral service. I'm not preaching my own funeral. I know myself bad enough, and I know all the bad things, so ain't no way that's going to go. So I want to talk to you tonight about the funeral of Moses. Deuteronomy 34, if you will, look in verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah under the utmost sea, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. We're going to leave off reading right there. Moses came to the end of his life, just like all others do, sooner or later, all right? I believe he had completed the work that God had allowed him to do. His people were about to cross the Jordan River. They were about to enter and to possess the land God had given to them way back in Genesis chapter 12. Just what he said. In verse 4, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. And he said, I'm going to give it unto thy seed. And that is the land. God's given it to them. By the way, God's never taken it away. Okay? We've got people today that want to say that's no longer applicable. Find that in the Bible, if you will. It's not there. God gave it to those people. It's theirs. And obviously, Moses couldn't go into the land because of his sin, but he could. God did let him see it, and God gave him, I believe, supernatural eyesight. Supernatural eyesight. He said he went up to the top of Mount of Nebo, and from that mount, if you read there in verse 1, 2, 3, all right, he says all that he could see. Well, I don't care how good your normal eyesight is. If you were standing on Mount Nebo, you wouldn't be able to see that today. And it's not because of high rises blocking your view, all right? It's because eyesight's not good enough. But I believe God gave Moses some extra eyesight and allowed him to to view all of that land, all of that land, all the way, it says, to the utmost sea, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And he allowed him to be able to see it. And so this was it. And then the Bible said he died. The death and the burial of Moses, very unique, very unique. Truth of the matter is, you could say it, Moses was a unique individual. You think about his life, all right? He was called for a unique purpose. God said, I've got one job, won't you do? Here it is. A unique purpose for him, all right? And then his life ended in a very unique manner. So I want to look at it just a little bit. Number one, Moses knew when he was going to die. Moses knew when he was going to die. He not only knew when, but he knew where. He knew where he was going to die. Now, some people say, well, man, I'd love to know that. Probably not. Most people wouldn't do good. I heard one guy say, well, if I knew where I was going to die, I'd just avoid that place. And that's probably what we'd do, right? If I knew where I was going to die, well, I'm not going there. You know, I'm not going there. What was Brother Williams up here Sunday morning talking about things? And the majority of people probably die in bed, but we're not going to avoid the bed, right? We're going to still go there. Hey, but maybe we'd think, well, it'd be good to know it. No, it's probably better we don't know when and where we're going to die. Just think about it. If you knew exactly when you were going to die, you knew that, how do you think your life would be lived? You'd say, well, I want to get these things on my bucket list. You know, I really think you'd be looking and thinking, man, I've just got X number of years left, or X number of months, or X number of days, and you'd be consumed with that thought. And that the knowledge of the when and the where would probably absorb us so much and really keep us from being happy, and instead we'd be worried over the time that was coming when we would die. But Moses knew. Moses knew, all right? Moses, though, didn't do that. He didn't fret about it. If you read here, notice, go back, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses was very productive right up and to the time of his death. He stayed busy. He finished his life being busy in the Lord's work. Deuteronomy chapter 31, look down verse 24. Verse 24. The Bible said, and it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the sight of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Hey, he copied down the law and gave it to the Levites. Got it finished, got the whole thing, all right? He led Israel into possession of Gilead, into that land, and they possessed it, pushed those folks out that were there. And then you get to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Here he is. Now he knows his life's coming to an end very quickly. And the Bible said, verse 1, this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And verse 6, let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him. And be thou an help to him for his enemies. And of Levi he said, and you go on down through this chapter, you'll see that Moses gave the tribal blessing to each one of the tribes of Israel. All right? He was doing, all right? He was doing what God wanted him to do. What a marvelous example he sets for us. What a marvelous example he sets for us. Look, as long as we're alive, we ought to be serving God. As long as we're alive, we ought to be serving God. Preacher, I can't do what I used to could do. Okay. Doesn't mean you can't do anything. Doesn't mean you can't do anything. There's some young ones, as they grow up, they could say, well, I can do more than I used to could do. Well, good, do it. Do it. Hey, you ought to spend your life serving God. Just spend as long as you live, as long as God allows you to live. You say, well, I have to earn a living. Understand that. But that's fine. But your lifetime ought to be invested in serving God. I understand you have to make a living. You got a job that provides the income, puts money in the bank, puts food on the table and all that kind of stuff. Fine. But your life is more than food and drink and an income, all right? It's what you do for God. And you ought to spend your life serving God. The truth of the matter is, a lot of people, when they retire, have more time to serve God. But I'm amazed how many people that have more time give him less time. It ought not to be like that. It ought not to be like that. Our life ought to be spent serving God as long as we're alive. Moses did that. Marvelous example. He knew when he would die. He knew where he was going to die. But he spent his life serving the Lord. Then his actual death was unique. It's kind of interesting. It was overseen completely by God. Completely. I've tried to figure out how to say this. He died. I thought about saying, well, he died naturally, but it wasn't a natural death. You know, But how do you do it? Well, it wasn't a natural death. He was very healthy. Look at in chapter 34. Look at chapter 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old. Man, people, we read that today and say, well, no wonder he died. But wait a minute. Look what it says about him. At 120 years old, the Bible said when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. 120 years old, and his eye was not dim. I remember it was about 30 years old that I decided I might ought to pick up a pair of glasses. And it was somewhere close to that. And he said, well, what brought it on? Well, I was taking flying lessons, learning to fly an airplane. And they give you an eye test. And I barely passed the eye test for flying. And I got to thinking about it. If I'm up there flying along in the aircraft, it'd probably really be a real good idea if I could see another airplane. It'd really be a good idea if it was sharp, you know. And the eye test for that, you go to get your license to drive a car and everything, and you read, read the third line, you read those letters or whatever, numbers, no big deal. Well, the eye test for that airplane was different. For a pilot's license, they had a line of circles on this deal, and you're looking through it. You're looking at, but the circle had a hole in it. It had a part left out, like so. You know, see that? The part's left out right here. And you had to say if the part left out was pointing to the left, the right, up, or down. You think it's tricky to tell what letter a letter is. You're looking at those circles, man, you go, where is the part that's left out, you know? Sometimes I won't say the whole circle's missing. So I decided, man, I'd start wearing glasses. Here's Moses, 120 years old. Eyesight's not dim. Now, there's, I get out, I need a magnifying glass to read the small print. I go to read some of the things, about, you got some kind of prescription, and here's the instructions. I go, I can't read the dumb thing, all right? But his eye was not dim. His natural force, the Bible said, was not abated. You say, what in the world does that mean? Basically, what that means is that his vim and vigor was in good shape, all right? He is 120 years old. We look at it and say, that's old. Well, it really wasn't that old in his day. It wasn't an exceptional age in that day. His father lived to be 137. His grandpa lived to be 133, all right? That's very old by our standards, but it wasn't so much in that day. But physically, like I said, good shape, all right? God kept him in excellent shape. I just want to remind you, go back to chapter 34, verse 1. Where were they? They were in the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. This is the day Moses died. He did not float to the top of Pisgah. He climbed a mountain the day of his death. You look at that and you consider, hey, he's pretty good shape. Pretty good shape. Now, age had affected him some. How do you know? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 2. Moses speaking, he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. He said, I can't do everything I used to do. But, hey, the Lord took care of him, all right? The Lord had took care of him. He had good. Yeah, age had affected him some, according to his own testimony. But still, man, physically, he's in good shape. So why'd he die? Because the Lord said, this is it. This is it. I've heard people tell all kinds of things. They've said, the Lord just took him, squeezed him, and squeezed the life out of him. Said, that happened? I have no idea. We don't know. We don't have any idea. Got no idea how he died. We just know that's when he died. That's when he died. Very unique death. Very unique death. Most people don't climb a mountain to die. But Moses did, all right? But then look, verse 8. The funeral of Moses, the mourning for his death. Verse 8, the Bible said, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. For 30 days they mourned the death of Moses. A whole nation wept over his death. The sad thing is, it wasn't until he died that some realized how important he was to them. It was when he died, all right? All that he had done for Israel, all that he had been to that nation, and some of the people never realized it till he died. And it wasn't just that old generation that had passed away. The new generation that had grown up since they wandered in the wilderness, they were just as guilty of not appreciating Moses. They were just as quick, we've seen it, as the older one was to accuse him and point to him and say, it's your fault, you brought us out here, that all that kind of stuff, all right? They didn't appreciate him. Hey, listen, I think there's a lesson for us. You know, sometimes we look for deep lessons in the Word of God, and we miss the ones right there on top. We miss the ones that are obvious, all right? Like a lot of people, they didn't appreciate the blessings they had until they were gone. You know, I believe we ought to learn to appreciate, we ought to learn to honor, we ought to learn to thank folks while they're alive. Don't wait till they're in the casket and you come by the funeral and say, man, you did a lot for me. Why don't you tell them while they're alive? Why don't you let people know that, you know? Take them flowers when they can smell them, all right? You know, bestow that on them when they can enjoy that blessing. One time, and I may have said this a few years ago, I tried to go back and thank every person that taught me in Sunday school. I tried to go back years ago. I began to do that. When we went to Georgia, my family is, we went and I'd take my wife and two kids, went back to Georgia and looked up a lady in the nursing home, went in to see her, and talking to her, I said, do you know who I am? She said, I know you're one of the Mosley boys. I'm not sure which one. And so I talked to her, and she taught me when I was a kid in Sunday school. And I sat there and I said, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for teaching me. Thanks for taking that time. I've gone to others that taught me when I was a kid and when I was a teenager in Sunday school and just said, just want to say thanks. Went to the man that, Brother Mayo, he would go with us to youth camp, take his vacation time to take a bunch of knot-headed boys, live in the dormitory with them and ride herd on us, you know. I've told him, boy, thanks. Thanks for doing that. I'm so glad you did it. I appreciate it. Hey, it's a good thing to thank people. We need to get in that habit, all right? We need to get into that habit. Don't wait till somebody's gone before you say, you know, they really did a good job. Well, tell them while they're alive. Tell them, let them know that. And I appreciate what you do. Appreciate what you've done for me. You say, well, I told them once. Well, it wouldn't hurt to say it again. Wouldn't hurt to say it again. You know, don't you appreciate being thanked? You appreciate it? Sure. I hope you do. Hope you do. We ought to. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful to the people that led you to the Lord. And it'd be okay just out of the blue if you could call them up and say, they don't live here. Well, call them up and say, hey, I was just thinking how good it is to be saved. And I got to thinking I might not ever got saved. Hadn't been for you. Thank people. Thank people. Let them know. Hey, Moses died and they wept for him for 30 days. I'll tell you, during his life, they griped at him a lot more than 30 days. They griped at him a lot. But they did mourn at his death. I want you to notice it's a private burial. Verse 6 says, he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, and he's God. A lot of times you see in an obituary, used to see this in the paper, that it would say private burial. Private burial. I'm going to tell you in this case, it was extremely private. The only ones there was God and Moses. Now, there may be another instance in the Bible, but I couldn't think of it. Moses is the only person I could think of that was buried by God. God buried him. God was there with him. God chose the spot, and God buried him. God buried him. Hey, let me point this out. He didn't cremate him, okay? He He buried him. He buried him. A burial, folks, is the Christian thing to do. I'm not going to camp on that a long time, but he buried him there. And the Bible said it was a secret. Notice, no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. So why not? Man, I can just see it. If God hadn't kept that a secret, can you imagine the shrine that would be there today? Man, they would have built a shrine. It would have become a spot a lot like Mecca is today for Muslims. All right? And it would have led to more idolatry. People would have come there, all right? There's some things God keeps from us because he knows we'd misuse them. He knows we'd misuse them. So he kept it from the people. He didn't let them know where he buried him. You can't go by Moses' burial spot and remember Moses today. Because there's no spot that's there. They've never found, you know, I can't even remember of anybody making the claim, we think we found Moses' bones. They do that with everything else, but not with Moses, all right? God kept it secret. But then I want you to notice verse 9 with me. We left off reading at verse 8. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, and all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. What would you like to have said at your funeral? What would you like to have said at your funeral? I was talking to a friend of mine. I remember now who asked me, who's going to do your funeral? It was this fellow's friend of mine, and he's told me, now, when I die, the first thing I'm going to do, they're going to call you because I want you to preach my funeral. And he said, I'm going to be buried down at the military cemetery, National Cemetery, down in San Antonio, all right? And I told him, okay, okay. And he said, make sure you find something good to say about me. Then we got to talking. We got to talking, and he said, how do you come up with something good to say about a bum at a funeral? And I said, well, let me say this. I will never lie at a funeral. I'm not going to get up and lie at a funeral. I'm just not going to do that. Now, you don't have to tell all the truth, maybe, okay? I heard this story told. It's a joke that this mobster died. I mean, he was a worthless bum. Just everything you could think of, he was bad. But his brother looked for a preacher that would preach his funeral. And he said, I'll give you $20,000 to preach his funeral if you can say something, if you'll say he was a saint. And, of course, it was hard. He couldn't get any takers. And since I'm a Baptist, I'm going to tell it this way. But he finally found a Baptist preacher. He said, okay, I'll preach a funeral, and I'll say he was a saint. He said, all right, $20,000 then. And he gets up there, and he's at the funeral, and he's standing there, and he begins to talk. And finally gets to a point in the funeral message. He said, now listen, folks, all of you here know this guy was scum of the earth. I mean, he was a crook. He was a thief. He was a cheater. I mean, a drunkard, a dope addict. But I want you to know, compared to his brother, he was a saint. So there you go, all right. Now, I'm not going to preach a funeral and lie. I've said this before. I never try to preach somebody into heaven, okay? Like, for instance, somebody that I've been asked to do funerals where I really knew next to nothing about the person, There was no evidence of salvation, nothing like that at all. But I never try. I don't try to preach that person into heaven. God takes care of that. I don't. But on the other hand, I don't try to preach somebody into hell either, because I don't know and you don't know. At the very last conscious moment, a person may have realized their need and cried out by faith and asked God to save them, and he could have saved them, all right? I don't know. But I'm not going to do that. But man, wouldn't you like to have just half of it said about you that was said about Moses? Hey, this wasn't a paid speaker. Somebody paid to find something good to say about him. Hey, this is God's testimony. This is God's testimony to his servant Moses. I kind of thought about this as God giving the message for Moses. And he said about him, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. Said, so hadn't been anybody like him since then. I said to you, he had a unique purpose. God said he was a unique individual. There's never been anybody like him since then. He was unique, all right? The Lord knew him. Notice what it says, whom the Lord knew face to face. He knew him face to face. God knew Moses. Moses knew God. He had a personal relationship with God. Boy, think about that, would you? Think about it. To have God say about you, this is one who there's never been anybody like him since his day. Never been anybody like him. He knew the Lord face to face. He did it, all right? And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, he said, man, he did it. He did it. He did everything I sent him to do. That's the man we're talking about. Now, let me say this to you in closing tonight. Really and truly, it can be said about each one of us, there's nobody like him. There's nobody like her. There is nobody exactly like you. There is nobody exactly like any one of us. We're each one unique. God made us unique creations. He gave us a unique personality. He gave us unique abilities. All right? And so it could be said about you that there's none like you, but wait a minute. That part about the prophet kind of wipes us out, doesn't it? But I say this, it could be said about you or me that he or she had a personal relationship with God. I'd meet him on a daily basis. He said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, when you get on your knees or you pray, you bow, you don't have to be on your knees. When you bow to pray, you're meeting the Lord. It's you and him. It's you and him. And that relationship ought to be developed. We talk about the relationship different people had with God. Now, I think about the relationship that Enoch had with God. The Bible said Enoch walked with God. He walked with him. What a privilege. You say, well, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. That wasn't limited to Old Testament time, okay? We can have that kind of relationship. We can have that close relationship to God, a personal relationship. So when we bow to pray, it doesn't sound like something we've never done or seldom done. But it sounds like, hey, they're talking to an old friend. That person, when they pray, you can tell they're talking to somebody that they know, somebody that knows them. Hey, what about, we can have that kind of relationship. There's only one Moses. That's true. God didn't need another Moses. He needed one. He made that one. And he still doesn't need another Moses. Now there's only one you. God doesn't need another you. He just needs you. You're the one he made. How great it would be if it could be said about us, it could be said about Moses, that person served God as long as they lived. They were faithful. They were faithful. Now, I don't know, what do you consider to be a great thing to be said about somebody? Well, they were a good friend. They were always there for me. Boy, how much better it is to say, well, as long as they live, they serve their God. They serve God as long as they live. You could tell that person had a personal relationship with God. What a blessing. What a challenge to you and me. Hey, I could never lead the people out of the Egypt's bondage the way Moses did. But I can help one get out of Satan's bondage. I can help one. What do you mean, Bridger? I mean, I can witness to him. We can help deliver that one. God didn't call us to lead out the whole nation, but we could try to lead one, couldn't we? Hey, God didn't call us to throw down our rod and it become a snake. Personally, I'm glad he didn't ask me to do that, all right? I wouldn't have minded the throwing down part. It's the picking it up I would have had problems with. So I'm glad he didn't ask me to do that. But that's all right. I can serve him doing what he wants me to do as long as I live, and you can too. You can too. So one of these days, if the Lord doesn't return, and I hope he does, but one of these days, if he doesn't return, somebody will be able to stand at your funeral and say, this person right here was faithful. They served the Lord. They served the Lord. Oh, they may not have made a great splash in the world, and the world doesn't know their name, and their name's not up in lights, and it never will be, but they knew who they knew who this person was in heaven. God was standing there waiting on them when they came, and they met face to face. But it wasn't their first meeting. They had a personal relationship with God. Hey, listen, all of us can have that testimony if we want it. All of us can have that testimony if we want that testimony. God used Moses in a mighty way, and he didn't need another Moses. What he needed was Joshua, and Joshua was ready. Hey, you may not be the Moses. Are you the Joshua? Where are you? Just serve God. Serve God. Wherever you are, however you can, as long as you live, be faithful to him. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Lord, there was never another one like Moses. He served you as long as he lived. Lord, faithful, faithful to you. He knew you on a personal, face-to-face basis. Lord, would you help us to try to develop that kind of relationship with you? Lord, would you speak to us? Help us to decide that's the kind of relationship I want with God. That's what I want. I want it to be like that. And Lord, help us to devote ourselves to it, to give ourselves to you, to be faithful. And Lord, to seek your will and be willing to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's good to have you.